This episode is brought to you by America's Rehab Campus. Get on the road to recovery with the best rehab in beautiful Arizona. Dial 1-833-272-7342. That's 1-833-ARC-REHAB.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now tuned in to the Armchair.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in again to another episode of the R-Cast. My name is Buddha.
My name is Vance, and I call myself that man about God, but guess who I'm here with?
Yeah, Vance brought a special guest with him today in the studio. We are very blessed to have him. Ladies and gentlemen, get up out your seats and give a huge round of applause to our new homeboy, Frankie Munoz. Yes.
Frankie Munoz, thank you guys. I appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, man, thank you so much for coming down, man. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good, man. It's a blessing. I appreciate the opportunity. I knew when Brother Vance sent me the invite a while back, I knew that it was going to be something good.
Yeah.
And based off the fact how my morning went, let me know, too, that it's something good.
Yeah.
Started getting crazy in the morning, you know what I mean? And I was sitting there like, man, I shouldn't go. You know what I mean? Like, I should just call it off. But
wow.
Yeah. And everything's been going good. But just this morning, something happened. And then me and my wife, we started arguing a little bit, you know what I mean, over something minute. You know what I mean? And it just started changing up the vibe that I was feeling. And I just want to tell my baby, I apologize and I love you. And we got this, mama.
Wow, that is powerful. Guess what? I wish I was like you.
That's cool, man. You know, dude, I'm. It's crazy to me to hear you say that, Frankie. I don't know if you and I ever had an opportunity to meet, dude. But this morning, specifically, it started last night, right? I've been in a funk. I have been in the funk, bro. And you know, I am a follower. I am somebody who tries my best to be the best version of myself. But this morning, bro, I am just not where I need to be. And I kept thinking, you know, I prayed on my way down here. It was like, God, please, you know, just give me something today. Give me some, you know, allow something to come into my heart today, because I think I need it extra today for some reason. I don't know. I haven't felt, you know, you just get that feeling of just being down.
Wow.
You know, we're being transparent here. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, guys, I'm going through the same thing, too. I just didn't want to say it until I heard you guys say it. Now I can just say it. I'm struggling myself because somebody reached out to me on the East Coast that said something that I can't tell you guys what it's all about. But I said, tell you what, give me the information. I'll do some research and see if that's true.
Oh, man.
Yep. Amen.
And I'm struggling. But, you know, I realize scripture says those that belong to me, I allow to be tested.
Come on.
We're going through the test today, all three of us.
Come on.
Yeah,
now.
No, for reals. And for you to say that you almost didn't come.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing a Valentine's Day episode later, too.
Okay.
And part of me was like, you know, we have a couple coming in. And part of me is like, man, I'm not in any shape to be like be doing interviews right now. But, you know, obviously there's a reason, right? And what do they say? Where two or more gather.
Yes.
I'm there amongst them.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, God, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for bringing my brothers in here,
yes,
too.
Sir.
Getting them here safe.
Yep. Amen. And what I'm learning, what I'm understanding now, because I was sitting there and I had a plan in my head to come in here at a certain time. And then when that time came, in my mind, I started panicking because I'm like, well, that's way too late. You know what I mean? And I was like, man, I'm going to be late. I'm going to show up late. Then that's going to reflect bad on my brothers. And then it's going to look like, well, anyways, long story short, I just went through it. You know what I'm saying? And I was all like, nah, man. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to get there on time. I left at 9:30 exactly.
Yeah.
Are you from here?
Huh? No, from Casa Grande.
Oh, dang. Thank you, man. Yeah. You drove all the way down here from Casa Grande.
No, thank you guys.
That was a long ride, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's what I'm starting to understand, that, you know what? These feelings and these emotions, they're just natural, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're natural. And like, when it comes down to those feelings, we just got to just still do what we know what we got to do. You know what I mean? And then still make it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Just still make it. You know what I mean? Like how you said. And that's another thing that I learned, too. When you know how we talk about, I don't know how to pray for somebody. Where should I pray for somebody? Well, just think about what you're going through. And 9 times out of 10, that person's going to be going through a similar situation or something similar. You know what I mean? And then that's when you pray for. That's how I've been praying for a lot of people. Like, let's say God pays my rent. You know what I mean? And he did, too, just recently. Like, he hooked that up. I say, Lord, thank you for paying my rent. And then I say, but there's somebody else out there, Lord, that I know who's probably going through the same thing. Lord, help them with that, too. Help them feel comfortable. Help them feel, because that's the worst thing in this thing is not feeling comfortable when we're waiting on God. You know what I mean? That's the part that I'm trying to get out of, you know what I mean? Of sitting
same
there.
Same boat, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Just sitting there in doubt. But I know God's going to come through, but that's what the enemy knows. He's like, okay, I can't touch him, but I know I can make him feel, not, I don't want to feel what God's presence is. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
God is awesome, though, man. Thank you guys again, and I appreciate Amen. You guys letting me bringing me on here.
Yep. In fact, in the book of James, it says this, God blesses those who patiently endure the testing of their temptations.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh, man.
And it says this, though, afterwards, they will receive the crown of life through God.
Come on now. Amen. Man. Amen.
That's so interesting. what did they say? What did he say? It was, you ever heard E.T. the hip hop preacher?
No.
You ever heard of him? He goes, you know, God, he goes, God told me to tell you guys this. You don't have a problem with God taking control of your life. I know you don't got a problem with that. What you do have a problem with is God's timeline. Mm. He's like, you know, and that's one of the things, man, is absolutely just like you said, I'm listening to what you're saying. And then I'm reflecting, thinking about like in my own personal life, like how you said, man, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be this way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That shame and that guilt that you hold from circumstances when you were young to where you're at now, like your body holds on to those things, right?
Yes.
It's so much more work to kind of like you said, they're natural, but at the same time, I mean, it sucks to have them, but it's also like, all right, man, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I'm like right now, just listening to this conversation, I'm like, all right, I'm exactly where I need to be and where God needed me to be today.
Wow.
Come on now.
You just remind me of another verse because three verses after that, it says, and remember this, when you're being tempted, it's not God that's tempting you.
But it say your own fleshly desires, right?
Right. 100% right
Come
there.
Come on now.
Exactly. That's why it says deny your flesh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I think another cool thing to touch on, Frankie, what you said is even when you're not feeling your best, how does somebody who's not feeling 100%, if they're so used to thanking God, coming to God with thankfulness and petition, you know what I'm saying? And they're asking God for something, they're in a bad spot. Maybe they feel like they want to yell at God. Maybe they feel like they want to lash out because they're not feeling good. It's okay to pray even when you're like that.
Man, right? It's definitely okay to pray.
You know what I mean?
Especially when you're like that, because there was times when I was in the desert, brother, walking in the desert because I'm lost. And I'm trying to go to a spot where there's no roads. So if I say, Lord, show me which way to go, there's not a paved road, subconsciously saying, well, your sister lives that way, so maybe God's telling you to go that way. So I'd be in the desert, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yelling at God, you know what I mean? Yelling, you know what I mean? Just mad, like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? You know what I mean? And then telling him, I'm tired of acting like I hear you. I'm tired of thinking that I hear you. I'm tired of playing like I hear you. I want to hear you. And that I believe in those moments, brother, and this has been said a lot before, that's when we're conversating with our Father the most. You know what I'm saying? And there ain't nothing wrong with that. So to anybody who's feeling like they're doing something wrong by just mad and just wondering why what's going on, that's perfectly normal. As long as you just stay in the faith and don't say no curse words like our brother Van says, and you know what I mean? Don't get to cursing him. You know what I'm saying? You can sit there and yell, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's normal, man. And there's nothing wrong with that because we're flesh. Right. What does he say? He says, I remember you. He says, I remember I formed you from dust.
Yep. That's right.
And then I always thought about that scripture, like, hold on, what is he trying to say in that scripture? He's saying, okay, when we look at the dirt, it's just dirt, right? We don't expect the dirt to build 1,000 houses. We don't expect the dirt to it's just dirt. It's just there. You know what I'm saying? And not trying to belittle us, but God says, I remember I formed you from dust.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he knows, God knows what we're feeling, first of all, and foremost, before anybody does.
Amen.
You know that's why I'm so excited about this brother's testimony. So could we get ready to get to the beginning?
Yeah. No, for sure.
Actually, it was good.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, that was the first time that we get a chance to see where he's at today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it's valuable. Everything that we could talk about, man, if there's somebody listening, if you hooked them, then we're doing our job.
Yes.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Yes.
Letting God do his. So, Frankie, you know, what we normally do here in the R-Cast is we talk about testimonies.
Okay.
Where you've been to where you're at now, and we like to start from the beginning. So if you wouldn't mind,
real quick, that's why I love where he's at now. Now we get to see where it started.
Yes, absolutely. But you know, let's jump into it, man. Where are you from? Where were you born?
I was born in Florence, Arizona.
Florence, Arizona.
Yeah, which is a small little town. It's a prison town. Nothing but prisons, county jail, and like that's it. That's really it. It's like they call it Cop City now.
Cop City.
Yeah. And then I moved to Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, and we just thank you for your presence, Father, and we know that you are here, and we just thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, Father, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I moved to Coolidge with my mom and my dad, and I guess my dad was, he was drinking. At the time, I used to be mad at my parents when I was little because, just real quick, I'm gonna jump ahead real fast. I remember sitting in county jail, and then my mom used to drop me off. She used to sell drugs, you know what I'm saying? And, she used to drop me off at different family members' houses all the time. You know what I'm saying? And so one day I remember I'm in jail with one of her ex-boyfriends. And he's all like, man, your mama used to cook tortillas like a mug. You know what I'm saying? He was like, she was the bomb, man. So I remember, long story, I don't know why that got me mad, but I ended up leaving. And then I went back to my cell. And then I was just sitting there like, damn, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, she was making other people tortillas, and then where was she at in my life? And so I used to hold a little bit of resentment toward my family. Mm-hmm. And then I got older and I started seeing how hard life is, and it helped me. So when I was about 4 years old, I would say four, because that's kind of what I could remember. I remember stealing at my preschool. I stole all the dishes and the little toy plates and toys and everything, and I put them in my Batman duffel bag.
Yeah.
And then went home. And then I remember my mom made me take them back. Yeah, that was in Coolidge. And then I just remember at about five, we moved to Casa Grande. And my mom had somebody else that she was engaged to. And he had things going, you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and say that it was all bad. We lived in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. He had a good job. My mom had a good job. But we were just raised strict.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I got my brother, Roy Olivas, Tony Nunez, Manuel, Steven Munoz, Asha Rodriguez. I got probably about like 10.
Yeah. Oh, 10 wow.
Siblings.
Are these all from the same dads or different dads?
Well, I'm the only one that's, I don't got no real brothers and sisters. I only got halves.
Are you close to a lot of your siblings?
I am close to my older siblings.
Okay.
You know what I mean? To Wero, Tony, Asha, Manuel, and a little bit of Steven. My younger brothers are Jewel, Quinn, Mia, and Alec.
Wow.
And I'm not really close to them because that was after my mom had already got all.
You just reminded me of the 7 wives I had. I had 7 different kids with them.
Yeah?
Yep.
One for every day of the week.
Only 2 of them know each other to this day.
Man, that's good.
Yep.
And like growing up though, how was the dynamic? Like who did you have with you? Did you have a couple of them with you? Were you by yourself most of the time?
It was mostly me and my mom.
Just mostly you and your mom?
Yeah, I remember when we moved in, because I was the first one to move into Bernie's house. Bernie was abusive. I ain't gonna lie. He was, you know what I mean? It wasn't no sexual or nothing, but he was just an abusive dude. And I remember it was me and my mom. We first moved in at the house. And then I kind of remember like when my brother came and then my sister came like, hey, check out, you know what I mean? It's cool. We live here now and everything. And from there we stayed there for about a good 5 years, you know, and then, but we were raised in a different time, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't remember, like, I remember when if mom said do the dishes, that don't mean today, that means for every day at this time and day, you know what I mean? You better do these dishes and you better clean. And so she raised us proper. I can't say that she didn't, because the little bit of time that she was still there, you know what I mean? That in that way, she raised us proper. She used to yell at us all the time, spank us, just normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the love was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I cannot say that it wasn't, because, you know what I mean? The love was there. And she was a good mother. You know what I mean?
What about your biological father, brother? Why did he leave the picture?
He was drinking a lot.
Okay.
And I guess he was smoking crack, too, at the same time. Right. And, but at the same time, he was there too, but it was just the alcohol. You know, he would leave, not come back, go with his homies. You know what I'm saying? And then he would go to work and then on Friday leave for the whole weekend however that looked, or have a party and just, I guess, just, you know what I mean? Just drinking.
Yeah.
And so my mom was like, they were in an abusive relationship. You know, I can remember a couple of times of some things, but so she left him because of that.
There's going to be a lot of people that can relate with this story, because I'm relating with everything you're talking about right now.
Yeah. And you know, it's I still remember some of those nights, you know what I'm saying? And of us having to run to the neighbors, call the cops, talking to the cops. My mom would be out there talking to the cops or however that looks. And then, so one day, when I was about like 5 years old, that's when she ended up leaving him for good, my dad. And my dad, he tells me stories and I got pictures and we looked happy. I ain't gonna lie. We looked happy. You know what I mean? And I don't remember being afraid of my mom or my dad as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, so they did what they were supposed to do. They just didn't have their relationship good. Our relationship was cool, but they just didn't have their relationship good. And that's where things went south at.
And, you know, that's one of the things that one of the reasons why I like talking about the past and bringing those things up is because it's generational curses. Right.
Right.
You know, for a couple things that I see, you know, like how you said your mom was dating different people, stuff like that, and how your dad was, you know, they both were raised by two different people. You know what I'm saying? And who knows how long those generational curses have gone from generation to generation.
No, most definitely. That's another reason why when I think about it, as a matter of fact, when I was here, I was like, you know what? I may have got mistreated when I was a kid, but like they were taught, like how you said, my grandma was she's resting with my Lord. My grandma, she was an alcoholic. Her husband was an alcoholic. Coming to find out, my mom had to raise the kids. My tia Nancy had to raise my grandma's kids. My tia Benji, who was probably at the time maybe 15, 14, he used to have to steal food. And then my tia Nancy would have to cook it while my grandma was out at the bars and stuff like that. So, you know what I mean? Putting all into play, they never got the same thing. Like he said, it was something that happened time again, time again, time again before us. You know what I mean? And this is just the result of all that.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? But in the end, it's like, it's ultimately, instead of saying like, oh yeah, I had it bad, I'm like, I know it could have been way worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A lot of people don't focus on that, on like, man, I've just imagined how it would have been without.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Without like me and having my father, you know what I mean? God.
So how old were you when you first started using? Was it because of the family members?
Well, check this out. So when I remember we used to start off by smoking weed. We were smoking weed. We used to steal from the stores.
What age were you?
I was probably about, I would say 10 years old, I think. And that was when we started smoking weed, but we started stealing when I was in like junior high because,
How old are you, bro?
I'm 37.
Okay. So 80s, baby. Yeah. I'm early 90s, baby. But you were born in the 80s.
Yep. Dallas Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? Dallas Cowboys.
Shout out to my mom.
Yeah. Guess what I tell everybody? Guess where the Broncos were born at?
Oh yeah. In Texas, Dallas. Right? Yep. Oh, Dallas. Texas, yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Yep, because all the head coaches for the Denver Broncos actually originally were Dallas Cowboys.
Damn, that's crazy. I remember, you said that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I started smoking weed. We were stealing, and then we would, my aunt's boyfriend would sell the stuff to his dealer, and then we would get broken off, and then, like, he wouldn't even break us off. We would do all the stealing, and he would just roll joints with us, and then we would just get high. And, you know what I mean? When you reflect on stuff, you're like, damn, this dude was robbing us this whole time.
Yeah, taking advantage.
And we would go in the stores, and then, but we were young. We thought it was cool, you know what I'm saying? And, like, they would send us into the stores. I remember, by this time, my mom had been selling, and I would stay at her boy, while she would drop me off at my aunt's house. And then I would stay sometimes with her in her boyfriend's house, and I would find sacks on the floor of meth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then it started off, my homie, he knew what it was. We didn't know. You know what I mean? We didn't know what it was. And then he would be like, here, I'll give you some weed for it. And so we would give it to him. And then finally, curiosity, we're like, hold on. What is this that we're giving you? And then little by little, we just started trying that.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
And you guys were pretty young at this point doing that.
Yeah, by this time, we're probably about whatever grade age you're in like seventh grade.
Okay, so about 12, 13.
Yeah, about 12 or 13. And then we started just stealing it from my aunt. When I stayed with my aunt, I started, me and my cousins, dang. We started stealing it from her. She knows, though.
Traviesos, bro, little traviesos.
Yeah, she knows, though. You know what I mean? Because my cousin would be cutting his hair for hours in the bathroom, then he'll come out bald headed and she'd be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She hears the lighter flicking in the bathroom. And so, about 13, 14, that's when it started going, going south. You know what I mean? Because that's when I got hooked on it. I didn't know at the time that I was like that until I started having my daughter. And then me and my baby's mom broke up and it was over the drugs. As much as I try to deny it, You know what I mean? Because I'm like, oh, no, she was tripping, or no, it was because I didn't want to. I chose drugs over everything.
That was me.
Yeah, I did that.
How did your family start? I mean, was it normalized to like an unhealthy point in your family, or were they a concern when you started using for the first time? Did they notice? Did you hide it?
I tried to hide it, but they were already doing it too. And then I love my aunts. I love my uncles. You know what I mean? Because I remember they would tell us it's better that you do it here than somewhere else. You know what I mean? Because I had one of my cousins, he went to a party. I don't know, whatever they were smoking was laced, but he kind of turned into he acts like a little kid even to this day.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I remember when he came home, his homies dropped him off and then they just left. And then I remember he was just on the ground rolling, you know what I mean? And then he was just like, just moving weird. And then he was on something. We don't know what it was to this day, but I remember after that, like, cause I remember my thin auntie, she was beating him up. Well, not beating him up, but trying to like snap out of it in the bathroom. And he wouldn't snap out of whatever he was in. And, they always told us, we'd rather you guys do whatever you guys do with us.
That's scary. Wow. I wonder what that was.
Yeah, I don't know. We think it was acid. We think that's what it was, that they were doing acid.
I mean, it had to have been a high amount, though, to alter his state of... I mean, I know that drugs alter your state of mind, but to actually permanently alter it like that has to be a high... Poor guy, man. Pobrecito.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the reason why, too, they were like that, like... It didn't help that we were like, okay, well, we're out here doing this, you know what I mean? Instead of trying to not do it, we were doing it. And I kind of sit there and sometimes I get mad at myself, not to the point of depression or nothing, but I'm just all like, dang, man, like, you actually put them through that. Like, I couldn't imagine my kids or my nephews coming up getting high off meth and then me having to be okay with that because I don't want to chase them off and then them go in the streets and then end up like how my cousin ended up, you know what I mean? And that was about the age of 13, 14.
But that's that whole thought process, too, of like when you're in darkness and surrounded by it, everything. I mean, the darkness, just like how you're around light now and God comforts you, you see the light, you know what's right, right?
Yes.
You know, when you're in darkness, you can't see it the way they. So thinking of how you are now, of course, you wouldn't allow that. Yeah. When you're in the middle of that generational curse and the devil's the one in charge of your life and he's the one that you're running to and you're smoking and doing all these things, I mean, that's how these things grow into these horrible, almost like cancers in families and generations and stuff like that. So as far as school goes, I'm guessing that life was completely non-existent. Did you graduate or anything?
I got my GED.
You got your GED?
Yeah, I went to college for about a month, and I think I could still go to college because I didn't finish it, but school was out of the picture. Mm. I remember my teachers, when they would hand out homework, they'd be like, you're not even going to do it anyways.
That's messed up. They would just do it?
Yeah, they would pass me up while they're handing out homework.
Wow.
At the time, I thought it was cool. Like, yeah. But then when I got older, I was all like, dude, that's sad.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I understand. I've been there too, brother.
Yeah, like... She said, you're not even going to do it. So I'm not even going to waste paper on attempting to try to have you do this.
Is that when you were in high school?
No, I was in junior high then.
Junior high?
Yeah, in junior high.
That's crazy. I had a teacher, Miss Renner, if you're out there, and this is for you, I hope somebody shares this with you. But she said that same thing. She sat me down one time and told me, she goes, I know you're never going to be anything in your life because of how you are and things like that. But I mean, it was no encouragement. It was like finger pointing.
Yeah.
But you know, this is a huge military type of woman, so I don't blame her. I don't mean wish any. But teachers, man, I mean, they're human beings too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You guys reminded me of my history. Guess what I used to do in school? Cheat. That's the only reason why I got good grades.
Man, that's crazy. So your teacher actually did that. So were you involved in gangs, things like that too? Did you gang bang and sell and do all those things?
I thought I was doing something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I represented where I lived at, which was on the east side, you know, and for a while, you know what I mean? In school, I tried to get that going. I got in some fights over sides. And then back in those days, it wasn't cool representing east side. And so I got in a lot of fights over it, you know, but that changed though. Like, I was like, man, I don't want to keep getting in fights, you know what I mean? Because I never won all of them, but I never lost all of them either.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just pointless. Like, I'm the only dude fighting over here because everybody else from the other side, You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't really into it that much, but I dip and dabbled in it. And as far as like slanging, I tried to do that too, but I was no good at that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it took me like at least from, I would say, 17 to about 24 to realize that.
Wow.
Yeah, because I always thought that, yeah, I could, but no, I was never good at that, man. And it's funny because I would always front everything. And then when people call back, I don't got no more. And then they would stop calling me. And then so when I would get more, those people stopped calling me because you didn't have no more. And it was just a, yeah, so I stopped doing that.
Man.
Yeah.
So you said 17 to 24.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, it's almost 10 years right there, of that little bit of time that you were doing all these things. I noticed you said that you had a child.
Yes.
Right? What age did that happen for you?
I think about in 2004. So I think when we were 16, 17, okay. 16, 17-ish. You know,
you had a baby in high school.
Yeah. Well, I was already dropped out. Okay. I was already done with school, ran away. I was actually living with my brother, in Mesa, Arizona, on University and Country Club. She was my first baby's mama, my only baby's mama. Like I said, that lasted probably until I was about maybe 22.
Okay.
Maybe even sooner. And my daughter, she was pretty. She was the love of the apple of my eye. Like, that's why I don't understand how things turned the way they turned. You know what I mean? Because, like, it wasn't something that, addiction is not something that you sit there and say, okay, I'm giving all of this up. You know what I mean? It's something that happens subconsciously, I think. Well, I guess you can call it. Because you don't know what's happening. You know what I mean? You think you're in control of it and you're, like, not in control.
Right.
You know, and until you're sitting there in an alley or something by yourself with nobody, you know what I mean? Haven't bathed in a couple of days, you know what I mean? Probably even a week and no money. You don't want to walk around because you're ashamed. And that's when you kind of start realizing, hey, something's wrong here. You know what I mean? You still don't blame it on addiction, but like something else, maybe I'm just going through a slump. But another year later, I had my son. Another year and a half or 2 years later, I had my son. And this is how I know that I'm different. Because a lot of people, those are enough for them to say, you know what? Hold on, I got to change. But it didn't, you know, and as much as it hurts me, I could remember where I was at when my son was born. I was there with my daughter and I was there in the hospital, but I wasn't in the room. I was doing something else in the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish I could say that, oh yeah, no, that was my turning point and helped me, but it wasn't. You know what I mean? That's when I guess you could say it started getting worse. I still remember when I was going, my mother-in-law at the time picked me up. She was coming from Chandler. She dropped my baby's mom off, and then she went to go pick me up. And I remember I had got my check. We had to go to the check cash. Now, my son's being born. We had to go to the check cashing place. I had to cash the check, pay back the loan. So I had to give him up the whole check. Then I had to take out another loan. And then I said, hold on, we got to go to this house. So we go pick up something from one of my other homies. And then I'm like, all right, well, one more time, we got to do another thing. All while my son's being born. And then I'm going and picking up some weed and some meth. Mm. And then I finally said, once I had all that, I said, all right, we could go.
Man.
Like, that's crazy.
It's crazy to think how it's a constant. I mean, you sit here and, you know, people can, like a teacher, like how you said earlier, right? The teacher with the paper.
Yeah.
Belittling you, making you feel like you're not putting in effort. But then when you really see where your effort was put, it was just in the wrong direction, right? You're putting in so much effort to get your drugs and to get, you know, to make sure that you're right. So that way you don't have to go through the withdrawals and all those things you experience.
Yeah.
And like you said, it happened subconsciously.
Yeah. And at this point, I was lost. By this point, I was lost in whatever I put my kids through at that time. I realized that the drugs were just masking all of that. You know what I mean? Because somewhere in there, there's still that person. I'm still a person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing with addiction. We're still people. You know what I mean? There's still a good person inside there, somewhere in there, or still there, even if it's on the surface. So I ended up just breaking it off. Well, she ended up breaking it off, and then I just left. And then she called the cops on me one time. You know what I mean? I had borrowed a car, and then she called the cops, and then, like, that was when I knew that, okay, yeah, no more over here. And so by this time, I ended up getting in some trouble. You know what I mean?
Sorry, bro. I was a little loud. I apologize.
No, that's cool.
Rest in peace, ears. I apologize.
Yeah, no, that was perfect, man. yeah, that's exactly it what was. Happened. I got into some trouble, and I used my brother's name. I had been to jail a couple of times for some small stuff, but I got picked up on something, and then I had a warrant out on my name. So I used my brother's name, and then I got out of jail under his name. And then I had a warrant under his name and my name.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
So I'm gonna hit that again.
one more time, bro. Lower it a little bit.
I had two warrants out, and I forgot that I used my brother's name. So I got pulled over again one time, and then I was all like, well, I got a warrant under my name. I know that. But I forgot about the warrant under my brother's name. So I used his name again. And then they're like, boom, you got a warrant. So I'm in the back of the cop car like, what? I'm like, damn, this dude had a warrant. And then I'm telling the cops, listen, I'm not who I say I am. I'm not Manuel. I'm Frankie. And then he's like, what? And then I was like, yeah. And then so they take me to the police station. But since it was me that got last arrested under his name, the picture popped up.
Wow.
As him. So they're like, fool, you're Frankie, they told me. And I was all like, So I go in jail. And this is where it gets wild. I go to jail. And then I'm in there for about a couple months. Cops are like, dude, we don't even know who you are. And I'm like, because after 2 months, I didn't hear nothing about a court date, nothing. Like, I'm sitting there 2 months with no information on nothing. They just have me in there. So in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to be 70 years old, stuck in here because they, you know what I mean? The mind's tripping. And so I meet this dude named Alonzo. I forgot his last name. His name was Zodo, Brother Zodo. He was from California. He was a pimp out of California, but he was a preacher at the same time. And then I start reading. I heard this is the scripture that got me to start reading the word. Romans 7:14 says, I do not understand what I do. The good that I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I keep on doing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I find another law in myself working in me. You know what I mean? So, and he says, I know nothing good lives in me, in my sinful nature. So just off that, I started saying, hey, that sounds like me. Because at the time, I'm like, I want to be in my kids' life. You know what I mean? I want to help them. I want to raise them. But I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's when I started reading the word. And then it started talking about changing how you talk. You know what I mean? James 3. You know what I mean? All taming the tongue.
All through scripture, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So James 3 talks about taming the tongue. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start changing how I talk. And in county jail, you know what I mean? That's not really the place you want to do that. You know what I mean? You got Mexicans from the Mexican mafia in there. You know what I mean? You got killers and you got drug dealers and just... So when I was around people, I'm starting to change the way I talk. Instead of saying the S word, I'm saying crap. You know what I'm saying? And then my cellie, and it was funny because I didn't know how politics went. And then I had a brother who was a cellmate, an African brother, and so I got looked at crazy for that by the people who knew what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. That's who they just bunked me up with. So me and him are talking, and we're talking about my case, and he's all like, "Well, check it out." He's all like, "You know, if you don't say nothing, they have to let you go." And I was all like, "What do you mean?" He was all like, "Because they don't know what crimes your brother committed, and they don't know what crimes you committed." So I'm like, he's like, all you got to do when you see your lawyer, lie to him. Tell him you didn't do none of that. Lo and behold, before I go see my lawyer, I'm reading a thing about lying. And I was all like, you know what, man? I need to change my lying because I lie a lot.
Interesting you say that because Guess what scripture says about a liar? One liar will inherit the kingdom of God, but they'll all be cast into hell.
Come on now. Not one liar.
So that was the devil coming after you.
Oh, man. So me and my cellar, we come up on this awesome plan. Whether it worked or not, I don't know. You know what I mean? But he's all like, the plan was to say, I don't know nothing about nothing. He committed all those or whatever, how you want to look at it. I didn't do none of those. So when he comes, I'm sitting in there waiting and I'm like, man, I'm about to go home. You know what I mean? Because my bunkie convinced me I'm going home if I lie. And then the thought came, remember what you said about you wanting to stop lying? And I was all like, oh, snaps. Yeah, I do. So he's all like, the lawyer comes. Well, I'm here for your brother. We want to know what crimes you committed. Matt, I was all like, I did all of that. And he was all like, what? Well, he got happy. And he was all like, well, you're going to get this for this, one for this, two for this. He's all like, you'll be out in about 4.5 years. And I remember my heart was just crushed. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, what did I do? I told the truth. So we go back in, and then it was funny. My roommate was already at the door. He was all like, Frankie, what's up? He's all, you going home or what? And then I guess I looked sad. And he said, no. And then he goes in there. By this time, there was some things going on, I guess, with the Mexicans. They thought I was being soft because I started talking different. I was fasting. I was going to Bible study. You know what I mean? And I didn't notice at the time. And then he was all like, so when I go in, he's all like, what happened? And then I was all, I told him the truth, bro. And he's all like, you tripping, homie? He's all like, all that time that we talked, he's all, you think my game? He's all, you think my game for free, homie? He's all like, you acting soft. He's all, you know all these Mexicans in here, they want to roll you out? And I was all like, what do you mean? He's all like, they don't like you, homie. He's all like, you in here using weird old words. He's all, you over here going to church. He's all like, you over here doing just weird things. You know what I'm saying? And I was all like, what? And he's like, bro, they don't like you, homie. He's all like, I be telling them sometimes they have to calm down on the things that you're doing. And I was all like, well, I'm not even doing nothing. He's all, matter of fact, homie, he's all like, I don't even know if I want you as my celly. And I was all like, well, first of all, I ain't gonna leave here like that. You know what I'm saying? And he was all like, matter of fact, he's all like, turn the light off. He's all like, I need to go to sleep. And I remember it was a lot deeper and more intense than that. You know what I mean? Because it was a lot of information at the time. And then this was probably about like 2 to 3 months while I was in there. And I remember I turned off the light and I was just sitting there like, what's happening with me? You know what I mean? I'm not acting like me. Like, what's going on? There's something going on inside of me. And then I remember I started crying because I'm like, what's going on? What's wrong with me? Like, what? I could have went home. I got these, my cellies mad at me. I don't know what's going on with that. These Mexicans are mad at me. I don't know what's going on with that. They want to beat me up, whatever. I go to sleep and I had a dream. And the only thing I remember on the dream was there was a dude. And in my mind, I'm like, damn, this is the devil. But he looked sad and he was crying and he never made eye contact with me. Ever, never once made eye contact with me. And he just kept saying God was real and I messed up. Just like this. God's real and I messed up. And he was crying. And I was like, what the heck was that about? You know? Because that's what I dreamed that night after going through all that. And
was he sitting like in a cell?
We were just like, I don't know where we were at. It was just darkness. And then like all I remember was just I could see myself though. And I remember my face on my lip, the look on my face was like, you're the devil. Like all of this and you're him. That's what I was thinking. You know what I mean? And to this day, I don't know why I dreamed that.
Wow,
but,
man.
But it was a time when I was putting God first. You know what I'm saying? Putting God first in my life. And I thought I was going to prison at this time. My dad, he had 72 hours left to live, and he was alcohol, cirrhosis to the liver. And then he had got miraculously healed. Supernaturally healed. And he was at a men's home. And I remember we were talking on postcards, and he would just share. And then so when they were like, well, probation's at stake. You know, probation, after 9 months, I was in there for 9 months. And then after all that, I was writing to my dad and he said, well, if probation is, you know what I'm saying? See if you could come to the men's home. You know what I'm saying? So I gave the information to my lawyer. And then 9 months later, I ended up going to my dad's men's home. Wow. You know what I mean? And that's where my life with God totally was just on the men's home was like how they do here. But in classes, it's Bible studies. Bible studies and prayers. Bible studies and prayers. Church on Saturday, church on Mondays, Wednesdays, Sundays. But all that when we're at the men's home is just Bible studies. And I remember when I first went to there, I thought they were selling drugs because my cousin, he was bald headed. They took me into the room at the men's home. They had their cell phone hooked up or to the TV. He's getting calls on the Bluetooth, you know what I mean? And then I'm just like, man, these dudes are selling drugs right here. But they weren't. And but that was my first encounter with God. But my cellie, oh yeah, he was telling me, he was saying, that night when I was crying, he said, God ain't gonna be in there with you when them white folks are trying to give you 5 years of your life. Man. God's not gonna be in there. He's like, you need to take your face out that book and look around what's going on with you, Frankie. He's all like, these Mexicans wanna beat you up. They wanna roll you out. You know what I mean? And lo and behold, check this out. That same dude he got released because he did a year in there. He got released, and then a week later, he got shot in the dome. And they killed him.
Wow.
Yep. And he used to tell me that I don't got to do all that stuff. He used to say, I'm part of the, he said, for him, he was like, I'm part of the 144,000. You know what I mean? He's all like, whatever you guys are doing, you guys are faking it, you making it. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm dealing with all of that in there before I got out. And then that's when I had that dream. And I believe that dream was, you know what I'm saying, just to keep me on the right path. You know what I mean? To let me know that, you know what I mean? Because the devil wasn't like scary or nothing. He was defeated already.
Was your cellmate a Jew or something?
No.
He's not a part of the 144,000. I can prove that in the Bible.
Come on now. Yep. He was misinformed.
He was lying.
Yeah, no, he was misinformed. He was just mad because...
What is the 144,000?
The 144,000 are the Jews that are going to get killed for believing in Jesus. Mm. That's in the Bible.
Oh, it's a specific number?
Yes, it's a specific number.
Yep.
And it even talks about it. It says which tribe they come from.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but he kept saying that he was that and that I was wrong for being the way I was. You know what I mean? But when I got out of jail and I got released to the men's home, because I thought I was going to prison, even though it was my first time and now I understand how things work, but still that's how God worked. You know what I mean? It's not the way that the system worked. That's because God looked out and blessed me on that.
Did you ever have any like direct contacts with the Mexicans in there? Like, did that ever come from them or was it just from this person?
No. So there was a dude in there, you know what I mean? And he was in there for, he was going to go do 15 years. And I guess he didn't like it. How I was acting, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know the politics in there at this time. So I'm trying to stay to myself as much as possible, but I'm reading the word and I'm going to Bible studies and I'm not playing cards like I used to, you know what I mean? I'm not out there yelling and talking crap to the DOs like I used to and cursing all this. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I calmed down.
So you didn't come in with faith. Like they knew the old you.
There you go.
And then they saw the transition and didn't like that.
Yeah. So it's funny. So check this out. One time I was sitting there. And there's this dude, and he got killed too later on. His name was Killer B, you know what I mean? And he didn't like me, you know what I mean? And this dude was a big old Mexican. This Mexican was big. So I'm knowing he don't like me, right? Because him and my cellie used to kick it, you know what I mean? He used to act like he was black, you know what I mean? So they used to kick it a lot. And then one day, I'm sitting there, and I'm in the shower, and then I hear it. God says, I'm going to write a scripture, take it to Brian. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, and then I looked out the curtains and then I'm like, he's not even up. So I'm like, okay, if I see him out there, I'll take it to him. And then he was sitting out there and he ain't never up in the mornings. So I'm like, dang it. So I get out the shower.
That's crazy.
I know. I get out the shower and I go to him and I'm like, hey, check it out. I was all like, hey, can I holler at you in the cell real quick? And he's all like, well, what's up, homie? You want to get mopped up or what? And I was like, nah, it ain't even like that, bro. And I was like, look, bro, don't take this the wrong way. And I remember the psalm. It was a psalms, and it was about money, about not putting money first. And then he was like, nah, I believe in God, homie. And so after all of that, I did start trying to talk to the Mexicans about what was going on after my cellie, but not immediately. And then they told me, they were like, nah, bro, you're cool. But it was just that one dude, Brian. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't like me. You know what I'm saying? Because my cellie talked to him a lot, and he guess he was the only one. But the Mexicans that were in there running it, they're like, look, bro, I think you're full of, but if that's what you want to go on, he's like, we don't want to see you out here doing nothing. If cigarettes come in, if anything comes in, I don't want to see you doing none of that. You just stick to your script. You know what I mean? And that's what I did. And then I ended up getting out. But yeah.
Wow.
It was a little crazy journey in there. There's a lot more to that. But like, yeah, like I went through some stuff in there over trying to find when I started first reading the scriptures, man. You know what I'm saying?
I got the chills. It's just, it's tripping me out because I feel like, just the same way we can come together and talk, right?
Yeah.
Brothers helping each other. God speaks through people. Sometimes he'll put people in front of you, dreams or whatever. I feel like the enemy does the same thing. Like he puts ugly demons in front of you. And like to think that this person is saying like the 144,000. I feel like I'm a good Christian, but I didn't even know what that reference was.
Yeah.
So like this person is saying that he's also like questioning you, like, yo, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. Like it just makes me feel like maybe... You know, he kind of felt that you were on that change, and it's like, let's pull him back in. Crabs in a bucket. Let's pull him right back down again. Let's bring him right to where he needs to be.
That was the devil going after him, yep.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. I got the chills, bro. Yeah,
me too, because you know what scripture even says?
Whew.
The devil even comes as an angel of light.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I never saw it like that. You know what I mean? And because he was a negative person. You know what I'm saying? And like he always used to tell me, like, are you reading again? You know what I'm saying? He's all like, you don't even need to do all that.
Jeez.
And yeah, like I never thought, I never saw it. But that's why I brought up what happened to him. A week after he got out, he got shot in the head in Casa Grande.
He said he got killed. That's
yep, he got killed. You know what I mean? And I still feel bad for him to this day because of what he was telling me. You know what I'm saying? Because I never, man, he was my cellie, man. We were always cool. You know what I mean? We never had no problems, no issues. And then just all of a sudden, he just flipped on me when I told my lawyer everything I did. You know what I'm saying? And for just telling the truth. You know what I mean? What did they say? I guess darkness don't like light.
Yeah, you know no, yeah. Right? No, man, that's good. That's an incredible story, bro. I mean, just hearing that, because I think how blessed all three of us even in this room right now to say that we've felt the Lord's presence and we felt maybe him speaking to us and working through us. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people. I was just reading the Bible this weekend and they were talking, God was talking about the parables and how some people never hear them. Even some of the richest, most successful people, they want to hear it. They want to know, but it's like God only reveals it to certain people.
Yep.
Right.
The chosen ones.
Yeah. And then you sit back and think like, yo, there ain't nothing, you know, there really is nothing special about us, bro.
It's biblical
nothing.
Too.
You know what I'm saying? But but it's awesome to be able to see, even through all the trials and tribulations and all the stuff that we've been through, man, that, you know, he still has a plan like for us. You know,
you know
what
that's biblical too, because guess what? In the Old Testament talks about what the enemy means for evil, God's gonna use for good.
Absolutely.
Right. No, no doubt. I'm a firm believer in that.
That's why,
like, I'm learning whenever I'm going through something, like, what helps me is I'm like, hold on. God's in control first, you know what I mean? So he saw this first. If I'm going through it, then I know I can go through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm going in a situation and it's rough, you know what I'm saying? Like, on the way over here, you want to know how many times of the thought that came was like, oh, on the way back, we could stop and hit one of these dudes up that are just chilling, you know what I'm saying? And you can grab something, you know what I mean, real quick. Wow. And you don't got to do nothing. You don't got to none of that. Just a couple hits and then just dip back to Casa Grande. You know what I'm saying? And on the way over here, I was getting a gang of thoughts. I was like, man, what the heck is going on? You know what I mean? I haven't thought like that in a minute. But I was all like, you know what? Nah, heck no. God brought me on here. So the same way I came is the same way I'm leaving. You know what I mean? And what I'm learning is that God puts you on the path. You go through it because you can get through it. That's it. It don't feel like it because why? The devil's a lie. He tells you, you ain't going to get through this. And what I'm working at, we talk about this a lot. Leaving before, we go through crazy. Now, check this out. We go through crazy times, right? And then every time it gets hard, me, I quit. And then I'm like, okay, well, I got to go over here. And then these times get hard, and then I quit. And then, okay, well, I'm over here. Now, these times get hard, and then I quit. And then I'm just in a state of all of this, whatever you want to call it, and then just the condition. So what I'm learning now is if I'm going through this, then I know God's going to get me out of this.
Yeah, you know absolutely.
And that's a rough one to swallow because addicts, we want, I need to feel good now. You know what I'm saying? I need to feel good right now. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to feel good later. I need to feel good right now.
I'm not trying to feel good later. It's true. I don't got time for this. Yeah. I need this right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude. So I would like to hope that, you know, it makes me think, why would he be trying so hard today, you on your way up here? When you said you haven't had thoughts like this in so long, right?
Yeah.
You're on your way to speak your testimony. And once again, how blessed and grateful. I mean, I'm so grateful that we're able to be a platform to be able to speak and give hope to people, right?
Right.
The enemy does not want that.
You just now proved exactly what was on my heart. So that was literally the Spirit showing me how the enemy was trying to stop him from coming up here because he knew the people that listened to this will turn themselves over to the Lord too.
Come on now.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just something else going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, hearing your testimony when you're talking about, you know, getting out of the jail that you were at, I know you said that ARC coming here, this place changed your life. Sorry, guys, for all the listeners up there, just, you know, they decided they wanted to move furniture up upstairs. So apparently they're wrestling up there as well.
Is that the devil? You can cut that out.
A few moments later.
Shout out to my brother Victor, man, maintenance. If it wasn't for him, man, him and the maintenance team, all of them, they're always in charge of moving the beds and making sure clients have a place to stay and everything. So they're just putting in work up there, dude.
Yeah, nah, yeah.
Whew, let me catch my breath. So you got out of the jail. When did this world of recovery start for you, bro? Like, I know you said the Lord was already speaking to you, but you were still dealing with your substance abuse at this time still?
Yeah. It was about after that time, excuse me. It was about after that time when I was, my journey here was about like last year around this same time, you know. It's funny because my brother, I went to prison. My brother stabbed somebody and I was with him. I didn't know he did that. I thought he punched the dude. You know what I mean? And long story short, I ended up going to prison for that.
Wow.
Yeah, he ended up going too, but they got me with it because I didn't cooperate with them. You know, and that's why I sat in county jail for a year.
And this was after all the story that you told us.
Yeah, this was after all this. I had got clean after when I went to the men's home with my dad and them. And then like 3 years later, I ended up catching this case. And I can speak only for my life. I know I went through two crazy moments.
Yeah.
Like to faith testing, like at its highest. And it's kind of like the story of Job, where he lost everything that he owned, God. And then he lost his flesh, which mm-hmm. when he got with the plague of
leprosy?
Leprosy. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, that's when he got everything handed to them. And when I think of my life, it's almost similar in the same aspect, because when I went through this time, when I went through for whatever what my brother did, that was crushing, because I was trusting God. You know what I mean? So I've already had a Bible, a lot of word. I went to Rima Bible College. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the graduate, but I went. I just didn't make the graduation. You know what I mean? Because I couldn't afford it, and it was through my church. You know what I mean? But I passed the classes, so I'm eligible to preach. But so when I went to jail, I went to jail. They were like, "Well, you don't got the lineup. The victim picked a whole different person in the lineup. The witness says he don't recognize anybody in your lineup." And then they kept telling me for like the first month, they were like, "We don't want you. We know you didn't do nothing. Just tell us who this person in this picture was or is." And then I kept telling them, "I don't know." You know what I mean? And I'm not going to lie. I was thinking, well, if I tell you guys, then that puts me there. So like, no, I'm not going to tell you guys who this is. They're like, "Oh, you're trying to be a gangster and you're trying to play." I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm just not trying to feed into what you guys are saying. If I say who it is, then you guys are going to say that I was there." And I wasn't there. I was trying to stick to the script on my story. So we go in there. And I'm helping spread the word, trusting God. Like, you know what? Like, I know it. I shouldn't even be in here. If in just with that lineup, I should be out of here. So I'm waiting on God. You know what I mean? So I'm preaching in there. We're meeting a lot of people in there, and then a lot of people are getting saved. Like this dude, he pulled me to the side one time, and in the pod there's 60 people. Now, mind you, I'm in the same jail that I was first found. You know what I'm saying? Like, got in. So it was kind of crazy being in that situation. Wow. I think he puts us in those situations so we can have faith. You know what I mean? And so, this dude pulled me to the side. He said, "Frankie," he's all like, "I don't know what you got going." He's like, "I don't even believe in God." He's all like, "But look it around." And then we got the place where everybody sleeps at in the day room. And then you got the rec room. And we used to have church in the rec room at like 7:30 at night. He's all like, "Look around." He's all, "There's 5 people watching TV. Now there's 60 people, 5 people. So that means there's at least 40, 50 people in the church service." We were gigging in there, man. We were praising, you know what I mean? And a lot of people got saved. And a lot of people had communion there because we started doing that. And I was like, you know what? God's going to hook it up. I'm hearing about these people getting their cases thrown out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there ain't no way he can't help the one who's helping them. You know what I'm saying? So after a whole year, everybody was gone, because I stayed with some people there for 5, 6 months, 7 months. And then I was like, well, my turn now. Everybody's gone. My God gonna bless me. I know I'm not gonna go to jail for what my brother did or prison. So long story short, went to the thing, and they were like, 4.5 years.
Ooh.
And I was like, huh? And it's funny, my lawyer was all like, "You're gonna beat this case. If you guys take it to trial, you're gonna beat the case. You're going to get your brother off this case, And then based on the fact you got caught with drugs, they're going to force you to take this to trial, and they're not going to they're going to give you the maximum on this. So either way, I would have lost no matter what. I would have still did 5 years regardless. You know what I'm saying? And so I was mad at God. I ain't gonna lie, man. I was mad at God. The girl that I was married to, she turned me in for $1,000. She turned my brother in for $1,000. She showed up pregnant, you know what I'm saying, while I was in there. So I'm sitting there helping people get saved. And then the thoughts of the devil, like, why are you over here doing that? Your girl's over here getting done in by these dudes. You know what I mean? Look at you. You're looking weak. Look at you. You look whack. You look lame. Look at you. God's not even helping you. And
man,
it was a lot, bro. And then she showed up. And then I was all like, well, we can make this work. You know what I'm saying? So I ended up getting 4.5 years for that. And I remember I was crushed. I was crushed, bro. You know what I mean? Like, dang. Like, what happened, Lord? Like, I didn't even do this. I was depending on the system to do their job, and they didn't do their job. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I ended up doing 4.5 years, man. When I did the 4.5 years, it was a rough moment in my life. My daughter was cutting herself.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking and yelling at God, too. Like, what's up? Like, for reals? Like, what do you got me here doing? But I started meeting people. You know what I mean? I met a homie. Shout out to B-Rad. And I remember one of our conversations in there. I remember I was telling, when I went there, I was telling God, I ain't going to talk about you, God. No, I have my relationship. But as far as talking to people about you, I'm good on all that. You know what I'm saying? Because look at me. I'm here doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, look where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just.
By the way, you proved another verse, actually, in the book of Proverbs. It says some people ruin themselves because of their stupid actions and they blame God.
Right. No doubt. Like
in the Bible.
Hey, that was all me.
That was like, the old you. That was the old you, man.
Yeah, that was me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the end, my brother, he was all like, you can tell on me if you want. You know what I'm saying? I will make sure I ain't going to show this paperwork, put it out there like that. But me, I was trying to hide. If I say yeah, you know what I mean? My stupid actions, all I had to do is just be like, you know what I'm saying? But in my head, though, I don't know what was going on. And,
Thanks for your transparency, man.
Yeah, man,
I got a saying, the transparency leads to transformation.
Yeah.
We're heading there.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, in the end, when it all boils down to it, I know I have no one to blame on none of this. You know what I mean? My mom, you know what I mean? Like, and oh, that's why I was talking about my mom. I can't blame my parents on this. You know what I'm saying? Because why? I've never really been left abandoned. You know what I'm saying? I've never really been not taken care of. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though I might have been alone a lot of times, I was never left, you know what I mean, like that, you know what I mean? And I know a lot of people have more worse stories than I do, you know what I'm saying? And so for me to give up on God and be all like that just because I can't, I'm scared of things, it's really just, it's not in the cards, man, you know what I mean?
Let me hop in there for a second, because you know what you just remind me of, what scripture says? Because you remind me so much of my testimony, too. But when a parent is not grazing the kid the right way, you know what scripture says about that parent? I think it was Jesus even said this. It's better the millstone be cast on their neck and they thrown in the ocean and die rather than causing one of their little ones to fumble.
Yes.
Stumble.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Yep. I was that dad.
And that's why I try to with my kids, little by little, I don't try to force it like, but they see me reading. They see me praying. We pray over our food.
There
I mean,
go. That's beautiful.
And,
wow, that's beautiful.
Just little by little.
God bless you for that, man.
Yeah, and they see the transformation too. Kids, they pay attention, man. You think they don't?
Do.
They pay attention.
Yes, they do.
They know us better than we know ourselves. It was funny. I seen this TikTok video, and then they said it's crazy how kids know their parents, but parents don't know their kids. Like a kid will be like, "Oh, if I do this to mom, then they'll do this. Oh, if I do this for mom, they'll do this." You know what I mean? But parents were like, I don't know what."
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just crazy how that's why God says be like children.
Yep. And ain't nobody that if you don't have the heart of a child, you won't make it into heaven either.
Yeah, he says you must become
like
one of these little ones.
So at what point in your life, like when did recovery, like when did you decide to step foot into ARC?
Boom. I'm sitting there at my dad's house. Me and my wife had got into some argument. And I'm back in the streets. I'm on the run. I'm back in the streets. After I got out of this prison for what my brother did, God blessed me with a woman that's why I try to bring up what Job went through. I lost everything. The drugs was the first, how Job loses his family, mm-hmm. his houses. That was the first thing that I lost with the drugs. And when I went to prison for something that my brother did, you know what I'm saying? That was me, like you could say, with the leprosy, because that was my flesh. You know what I'm saying? That was like my second testing. So when I got out, my life mm-hmm. was never the same. Like, he blessed me with a woman, my fiance right now, Priscilla Melendez. He blessed me with her. And like, she's been so supportive. So like, when I'm at the lowest, coming back on those benches, feet smelling, you know what I'm saying? And like, with nothing in my pockets, you know what I mean? Bumming it. Like, she's like, she still sees me for me.
And I'm glad she wasn't like Job's wife, because guess what Job's wife said?
Curse God and curse, die already?
He said, nope.
That's right. I mean, dude, I'm listening to you compare yourself to Job, and I've had people ask me, like, what life do you see that's similar to like someone in the Bible? And I always thought, I don't know, but I just don't want it to be like Job's poor dude. That dude went through it, bro. Like, that's rough.
That's why I see myself like the Apostle Paul, because guess what he called himself?
What did he say?
The sinner of all sinners.
Yep. The sinner of all sinners.
Man.
No, that's truth. You know what I mean? And I used to want to be like, I don't want to be like Job neither. You know what I'm saying? I used to be the same way. But when I realized with my life, and that's only because of who God brought in my life after that was Priscilla. You know what I'm saying? Like, she like
an angel, bro.
Yeah, an angel. But I got it when I went through all my trials and testings and tribulations, when I was at my worst. You know what I'm saying? And that's when she came into my life. And my life has never been the same when God gave me her.
You know what you just reminded me of? My seventh ex-wife, she's the one that got me into treatment. But guess what I started doing after I got clean? Cheating on her. And that's the reason why we ended up getting divorced. So yeah. I still give God praise for her saving me.
Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he'll do that, man. He'll bring those ones. And, like, that's why to this day, me and her, we argue and stuff. But, like, I'm just learning. Like, I just got to just, do I love her? Yeah. Well, then just, and she always says it, let me be mad. But going back to your question, so I'm sitting there. We got in an argument. I'm on the run again. My PO's tripping. He's all like, dude, during COVID, you got a warrant? He's all like, we're not even seeing you guys. We're just making you go to the door. You know what I'm saying? And just, that's it.
We had somebody in here get driven home on DUI during COVID. They didn't want to take them in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They didn't want to take them in.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And you were still able to get in trouble.
Still getting into my PO's like, are you serious? He's all, we weren't even checked. You guys didn't have to come in. We weren't dropping you ways. And you still couldn't just come in. So that's how gone back I was on drugs, though.
Wow.
And,
so
me and my girl are chilling while we're broken up. And then I called my dad. And he was like, all right, Mio, I'm going to go check you out. And in my mind, I'm trying to get some money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I still, he's my dad, though. I want to say what's up, too, because I don't see him.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, my dad, he after when he went to that men's home, he got his life together. You know what I mean? And he's been in my life
awesome.
Ever since. And it's because of him I can understand how my relationship was supposed to be with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In heaven. And I'm sitting there. I call him. We're in front of Safeway. And then I'm dope sick by this time. I'm on blues. I'm not messing with meth no more. I'm on hardcore.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, like, that's elementary. Meth, to me, is elementary. You know what I mean? Because meth, you can get off of it and you just feel little body aches and everything. But when you go through withdrawals for weeks, you know what I mean? Like, withdrawals. And but I'm not saying that it's not a drug. You know what I mean? Because meth is a drug, but
it's a portal.
Yeah. In my walk, I started getting on the pills. So I called my dad. He meets up with me and he's like, well, Mio, check it out. Let's just go to Eloy and we could just kick back and watch some movies. And in my mind, I'm getting mad at him. Cause I'm like, I don't want to watch movies. I'm trying to tell you, I won't be able to sit still, Dad. Like, I'm withdrawing. You know what I'm saying? And then he's all like, you really feeling that sick? And I was all like, yeah, Dad. And he's all like, listen, I'm going to do something that I swore I would never do, but he's all, I seen my mama do it with me. And he's all like, I'm going to get you some of this stuff. He's all like, but this is going to be the last time. And then I was all like, all right, cool. So we go, and he gives me some money, and then we go to to my spot. He drops me off, and he goes somewhere, and then he picks me back up. And so I'm sitting in his living room. Now, I never told my dad what I was on. You know what I mean? It never got that bad. I used to go to his house and get high in the bathroom, but I never blatantly told him what I'm doing. This time he knew. And so I'm sitting in there and he's sleeping in the room. And then I'm getting high, and then I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to hurt people no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to do this no more. So my dad comes home, and then he talked to somebody at work. They gave him a number about a Horizon, and then he's all like, yeah, call this lady. So I have this number for like 2 days. I don't do nothing with it. And then finally he's all like, hey, Mio, did you call that lady? And then I was like, oh, snaps. And I didn't think about it. We call her up. She's like, well, I ain't going to be able to do nothing. I'm on a plane. I ain't going to be able to do nothing till the weekend or till Monday. It's Friday night. And then I told her, yeah, Dad, she ain't going to do nothing till on Monday. He's all like, dang it. He's mad a little bit. You can see it. Not mad. He's just like frustrated. Like, dang it. I want to get you help.
Yeah.
And then I gave him back his phone. And then I'm just sitting there watching TV. And then he's like, I just heard bing. And then he's all like, I grabbed the phone. And then it was that lady. She said, there's a place in Tucson called the Ark. Give him a call. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I call him. I go outside. I smoke a cigarette. And I'm calling him. And then the Ark's with it. That's why I love this place. They're like, what's up? Where you at right now? We'll go get you. You know what I mean? And I'm all like, whoa, 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 whoa. In my mind, I'm like,
I wasn't serious.
Yeah, like, honestly, I wasn't ready. I'm not serious. And then I was like, I got some things I got to take care of.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that plenty of times.
Man, that's what it is. It's procrastination. When we're on that, because I should have been like, right now, come get me. You know what I'm saying? But in my mind, the flesh don't want to do that. The flesh don't want to do that.
Right.
So I set it up for the next day. I'm like, all right, look, check it out. Pick me up tomorrow. So my dad drops me off the next morning because he works. At his work, he goes at 5 o'clock in the morning. He drops me off. And then he's looking at it like, why didn't you have him pick you up here? Because me in my mind, I'm like, hold on, I got to go get right one more time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And my dad's all like, why didn't you have him pick him up at our house? And I told him, I was like, oh, no, because I want to see Priscilla before I leave. You know what I'm saying? Which I wasn't in line. I wanted to see her, let her know too. And but I wanted to get high too at the same time. So long story short, boom, we're at the house. He drops me off. I call the Ark. Hey, I know I told you guys to come pick me up today, but tomorrow, can you guys come do it? And they're like, nah, heck no. Where you at right now? We'll go pick you up. They're like, bro, just come. And I'm like, I'm fighting them. You know what I mean? I'm like, they're trying to get my address. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't at the address that I gave them first. I was at a different address. And I just said, nah, listen, on the real, tomorrow. I was all like, you guys have my number. Call me tomorrow. And this was last year, bro, in late March. And then it was funny because I ended up going back to my dad's that day. I got dropped off early in the morning again the day that I got picked up to come to the Ark. And I remember I heard it because I was walking. I had to walk from my house to where the Ark was supposed to pick me up at. And the cops were looking for me. They used to kick in doors looking for me. They were already pulling over my daughter, you know what I'm saying, trying to look for me and everything. They were on it. And I remember I heard it plain. If you stop anywhere else, you ain't going to come. You know what I mean? Go straight to Weddle's and get picked up. You know what I mean? So I was walking at 5 o'clock in the morning thinking I was slick. I had a sweater on. You know what I mean? It's already March, so it's not that cold. I had sunglasses on, the hoodie on with a suitcase, trying not to be suspect. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want the cops to pull me over. And so, yeah.
You're wearing the uniform. It's like, yo, pull this dude over right now. He's got a suit.
Yeah, that's the uniform. And that's how I look. And I thought I was being slick. But I remember I was just trying to get to that spot from point A to point B. And I was being told, if you move, if you go anywhere else, you're going to jail.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? And then that's when I finally, the Ark came and picked me up in a Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, TV's going. And then there was
shout two out
dudes.
To Mike.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and then that's when I came. I was trying to just originally just withdraw the 3 days and then come back. You know what I'm saying? And what was his name?
Nate Dogg?
I forgot his name. He's gonna be mad if he hears this. Chris, I think.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah, one of the ones that
Steelers fan?
He has glasses.
Yep, he's still his fan. Shout out to Chris.
Yeah, there you go. He was like, he kept telling me, like, you should work here. This was when I was still in withdrawing. I was still up there dope sick. He's all like, they'll hire you if you complete the program. And then I was like, well, let me give it a shot. You know what I'm saying? Let me see. It can't hurt me none. And I started liking the place. The nurses are awesome. You know what I mean? Mm. They treat you like I want to say, man, they treat you like royalty right here. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Coming from like, you know what I mean? Our backgrounds and you're like, we really don't know how to receive that. You know what I mean? But yeah, they treat you like better than, yeah, better wow. than you would expect. And that's what I liked about it. I was like, let me try this for a month. You know what I'm saying? And then after the month, you know what I mean? I started doing my own thing here. I started learning. They teach me the science behind all of this. They kept telling me, drugs are not the problem. But I've been told my whole life, drugs are the problem. They're like, nah, there's something else inside. You know what I mean? And I've never been told it like that. You know what I mean? Because I've always been told, drugs are the problem, go to prison. Drugs are the problem, go to jail. Drugs are the problem, you know what I mean? And I didn't know that it was everything else that's messed up inside of me. Mm. You know what I mean? And that's what I got right here. Yeah. Was fixed on the inside. I started crying when I was in Brianna's wow. office. Because not because like, oh, my life is sad. I was like, this is the missing piece to the puzzle.
That's why I give God praise for using the ark, man. That's why I give God praise. I thank Mike all the time for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really powerful. And especially for those who don't jump off the ark. Because guess what would have happened to Noah if he'd have jumped off the ark?
Drowned.
He would drown. And if we would have jumped off the ark, we would have relapsed.
Come on now.
Oh, man.
And that's another thing, too. And that's what anybody who's going through that, man, I'm telling you guys, man, if you guys made a commitment to stay the whole time.
Yep.
Because if you don't, it says something about your future in recovery. Because you're already, what is it called? You're already making, procrastinating and making those bad decisions. And I told myself, if I leave here prematurely, then it's not going to work. So I need to stay here this full time. I'm not leaving it unless I got a certificate saying that you graduated. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what happened.
Amen, man.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, bro.
Yeah, no, awesome. This place is awesome, man.
I'm glad you listened. You know, you started listening to that voice because, like they say, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death.
Yep.
You know, it's only a matter of time until, you know, God's tired of having to repeat himself over and over again.
You said that, and it says in his heart. It says there's a way that seems right to a man in his heart.
In his heart.
So that means something that's deeply embedded. You know what I'm saying? Something that you've been following your whole life, something that you've been taught since you were, and he says that seems right in his heart.
Yep.
And that's something that's hard, and that's what we battle against, because why? We think that this heart, like, no, this is how, no. You know what I mean? That's saying, that's something that's going to get ripped out of you. You know what I mean? Eventually. You know what I mean? But it's hard trying to go against it because we think drugs, oh, if I stay sober, then I'm good. But that's not the case. That's only that's the top of the iceberg. You know what I mean? The drugs are just the top. You know what I mean? It's me. I'm the problem. I'm the problem, and God is the solution. You know what I'm saying? And I got to give him my will. And that comes even though, because when you're here at the Ark and you're getting pampered the way you get pampered here, you know what I mean? With the breakfasts, you got maids cleaning your room. You know what I mean? You don't got to worry about nothing. You know what I mean? You just, they give you cigarettes. I don't want to, you know, you start thinking like, I don't deserve none of this. You know what I'm saying? But we do deserve that. You know what I'm saying? But that's when in a man's heart, you know what I mean? He's all like, I don't deserve this. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, you don't deserve this. But what God's going to do through you, how many people are going to change in your family? How many people are going to be at rest because of what you're doing? That's what he's doing this for. You know what I'm saying? I like to say that God, he kills 100 birds with one stone. You know what I mean? God moves. You know what I mean? When he moves, he moves. All them birds are going to get hit with one rock. And that's why I love this place. That's why I want to work here. You know what I mean? Like, that's my ultimate goal is to come back and work here.
That's the very thing I did when I got clean. It took me a year, but then I went back to go work at the same place I got clean at.
Yeah.
I want to prove something real quick that came out of your mouth because you said amen quite a bit. And guess what the word amen means in the Bible? And I even looked it up in Corinthians, and it says this in scripture. Amen means, yes, I agree.
Come on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
I think so. I'm agreeing.
Yep. Hey, man, any human resources, anyone out there that's the higher up listening, remember the name Frankie Munoz and put that at the top of the pile, man. You got to hit up that Indeed, dog, and put it in, brother. Put it in, man.
So thanks for wanting to work in this space, man. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's a very promise I made God when I got clean 10 years ago.
Yeah, I just want to be a part of it. I mean, I'm doing peer support right now. You know what I mean? And I'm not, everything happens for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And that's what I'm going with. But like my ultimate, I want to come back here.
You know what I'm saying? Where that's biblical too, because guess what it says? Let his will be done.
Come on now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man.
I believe I'm just in a little trial right now. You know what I mean? Because.
Yeah, that's biblical too.
Right? Yep. You know, I just like, because I didn't want to go back. You know what I'm saying? I was all like, I don't want to go back. Because why? Because what if I fail over there? What if I get high over there? But then when I went back and I was over there, I was like, I had to come back. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't be running from a place. You know what I'm saying? And all scared to go over there because why? And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I thought it was going to be a struggle. You know what I mean? Because, I'm going to run into people. But, man, I haven't ran into one person that I got high with out there.
Man.
Wow.
Yeah, the trip out on that. And I work in a rehab. You know what I'm saying? And I ran into two people, but they're like, when I got hired, they were gone. Like, it's like God pulled them out already. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what's crazy, though? It's like when, as you get deeper into this world of recovery, the people that you do run into are going to be, you know, they're all there for a reason, but it's even like a deeper purpose now. Like, Frankie, that you, bro?
Yeah.
What? This is what? Like, you know what I mean? Those people that, you, bro? Like, how, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's just where it's at right now. Like, I love going to work. You know what I mean? I love, the life that I have right now, and what gets me excited is I'm like, man, if I feel this good. And as a matter of fact, I was thinking about it when I was getting ready. I was all like, dang, that's crazy. Like, my brain hasn't even fully healed. It's not even to its fullest capacity because it's still in the healing process.
That's biblical too.
Come on now.
It says, do not lean on your own understanding.
Come on now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm excited to where it comes at in a couple more months.
Wow.
In another year, in another half a year. Where it's going to go, because if things are going this good right now, you know what I mean? And that has nothing to do with me, you know what I mean? Because I gave up a long time ago. From this, I tried to call my girl on the third day and tell her to come pick me up from here. So that's when I gave up already, you know what I mean? Good thing everything happened to where she didn't answer, and then I ended up staying the whole time. But my will already was done, gone, defeated, you know what I'm saying? And I've been just going off of his will. You know what I mean? He's been taking care of everything ever since.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what I visualize in my head, bro? You know, when they talk about the parables, the sower, the with the seeds, and how some of the seeds get thrown into like the
thorns.
They get thrown into the thorns, rocks. Right? And nothing happens with it.
Right.
I envision like your life before where you're at now was just like thorns. The way that, and then I just imagine seeing like beautiful greenery coming out of those thorns and taking over it.
Come
like,
on now.
You know what I mean? That's cool, bro. Yeah. That's really cool. Man, Frankie, thank you, brother. It's a huge blessing to have you in here. Is there anything else that we should touch on? Any questions we should ask or anything?
Actually, I just think it was all amazing because guess what he did? He planted a lot of seed today.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me, man. And
absolutely.
Yeah, God's moving over here, man. That's what, when we feel like how you feel or how we feel, like when we're like, man, I'm going through it, it's because, you know what I mean, the enemy knows what we're doing over here.
And your faith is being tested. Scripture says that.
And based on the fact that we sit here, it feels like we don't do enough. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It feels like, man, am I really? Man, you guys are making a change over here, man. You guys are all doing it. There's no I in team. Everything that you do is important, man. You know what I mean? Everything that you do is important, just like everything Brother Vance does is important. You know what I mean? There ain't one person. What does God say? The body, if the heart says, oh, I don't need the stomach, you know what I mean? Nah, it's all one body. We all do what we're supposed to do.
Exactly. That's 100% correct what Scripture says. That's
right. Now.
Yeah, man. No, thank you, brother. And thank you for the hope. Thank you for filling, you know, this room up with love. And thank you, Vance, for bringing our brother here today, man. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to our homeboy, Frankie, man. That's what's up, dude.
Amen.
Turn that all the way up for you.
Amen.
Woo. Thank you guys for having me, man.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm so grateful that your life is doing good, man. It's a huge blessing. If there's ever anything you need, make sure you let us know. For all the listeners that are out there, thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode. I hope you got something special out of it. Remember, if you got any positive affirmations, anything you want to share to our guests, any messages you want us to pass to our guests, you know, prayers for them, whatever it may be, hit us up on the email. All of that info is on the show notes. If you got a testimony, you want to come share it, all the info is in the show notes. But until next week, thank you guys very much. Much love. God bless. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Peace. What's going on, everybody? This is Buddha from the R-Cast, and I just wanted to thank you for checking out this week's episode. It means a lot, and if you could share it with a friend or a loved one, somebody in need in recovery, or maybe somebody who just needs that little bit of extra positivity in their life, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you would like to join us here on the R-Cast, either in the studio live or online, hit us up. The links are down in the show notes of this episode, and on there, you can find direct links to our main website here at America's Rehab Campus and all of our social media platforms. Follow us. We keep the posts positive and motivational, focused on recovery, health, and wellness. As you know, in this modern day and age, we need as much love as possible, y'all. And as always, if you or somebody you know is in need of substance abuse treatment, please don't hesitate to give us a call. We're open 24 hours a day, and our direct phone number is 1-833-272-7342. Once again, that phone number is 1-833-272-7342. I hope you all have a beautiful rest of your day. Much love, and God bless. Peace.